What's up, Dutch Nation? Today on the podcast, we got former Granite Bay Regional Manager and current lead mob, Morgan Holtz. And man, Morgan is just one of a kind, unique individual. He's had a great Dutch journey thus far, and she shares with us some good tips about facing your challenges head on and not backing away from them. Taking the time to reflect, ask yourself why and what actually serves you and fuels you, finding that, as well as a little insight to exactly what the lead mob does, and a whole lot more. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the Morgan Holtz podcast.
Welcome back to the Dutch Bros podcast. With me always is my friend, Marcus Barriotta over there.
I love that, Shane. I'm your friend. I feel privileged.
And today's guest, someone who, well, is super nervous right now. We have Miss Morgan Holtz over here.
What's up, everybody?
Yes, the infamous Mo. May I just say, I am very partial to that name, Morgan, Mo. That is the name of my daughter, for those of you who don't know. So this is an honor for me and a privilege.
Honor and a privilege to be here.
To have another Morgan.
It's about time Mo's on the podcast.
It's about time to sit on this red couch, and yeah, I feel like I could just be your daughter. If I could be anything like that little one, it's an honor to even be anything like
her.
She
is a cutie.
Well, now I feel old. But hey, that's all good.
Thank you.
But let's not talk about that. So, Mo, what do you currently do for us here at Dutch Bros? I mean, most people know, but for those that don't.
I am currently a lead mobster.
Wow.
Yes. So I've been in this role for a little over a year now, 13 months, and it has been the fastest year of my life and the most impactful.
Yeah, I can only imagine. It seems like the life of the lead mob is quite fast-paced. We never see you. We see you like 1 week every 2 months.
I see you every season.
I like to pretend like I'm a resident here in Grants Pass. I have a nice little studio right downtown.
Yeah.
I like to tell people I live in the beautiful city of Grants Pass, but I don't actually stay here often.
First off, this is how we usually like to kickstart it. What was the very first coffee you drank, either as a customer or as an employee, and what do you currently drink?
Ah, this is a good one. First drink I drank at Dutch Bros was a watermelon coconut iced Red Bull.
Oh.
Which transitioned into the Rebel.
Yes, yes.
And I currently drink 6 small hot green teas every morning.
6?
2 of them with 6 ice cubes, 2 of them with 4 ice cubes, and 2 of them with 2 ice cubes. So as soon as you finish each segment of the green teas, the next ones are ready to rip.
Okay, perfect
temperature.
Okay, weirdo.
Yeah, I was gonna say, this question's not on the list, but what is it like living with OCD? Because that's crazy.
Yeah, you can tell, man, when they only put 5 ice cubes, it's not quite drinkable. We're not there yet.
Wow, so tea. So, well, it sounds like never coffee. That's all right, though.
Okay. Occasionally an iced black coffee or, you know, the typical daily shooters.
Oh, yeah.
We love the white coffee dubs.
I was saving this for later, but since you mentioned it, what was your inspiration for your dub shot toast / shout out there on the Dutch page? You're the pioneer.
Yeah, you're the pioneer, the one that's kind of start all the shout outs.
The Granite Babes, baby. Yeah. Shout out to our Granite Babes. What kickstarted that for me was I'm a morning person, 100%. I love to get up an hour before my open shifts. And so by the time I get to the shop, I am crazy high energy, ready to go, wide awake. And I just noticed that when the crew would come in, they were still exhausted and excited to be there, but still, you know, sleeping a little bit.
Sure.
So we started doing what everyone does at Dutch Bros, taking a dub shot, but that wasn't getting them stoked. So I'm like, what if we start doing dub shot videos, but not just regular every time a toast, but making it fun. So some days we would put crates on our heads. We did whatever we could to make it as crazy and as fun as possible. So then by the time we were done taking our dubs, everyone was super stoked, ready to rock. And every day we just started doing the dub shot videos.
Awesome. Practical tools right there for y'all listening. You want to get the day started right, do a nice dub shot toast, throw it on the Dutch page. Looks like Grace is kind of taking the torch.
Oh, yeah. Grace Bevan, she's leading the Granite Babes now. And
yeah,
I think her videos are better than mine could have ever been.
But, you know, you were the first. It's something to be said. The legacy remains. You got to be proud of that, right? You should be.
Yes, we're proud of the dub videos. And the biggest thing with that is I love seeing the videos on the Dutch page because everyone that does them is just silly and fun in themselves. And you don't have to be ashamed of who you are or what you're doing or what you're saying. Keep it weird.
No judgment on the Dutch page, y'all.
No judgment.
Oh, nothing but love.
Let's take a little deep dive here. So yes. Let's just talk about your story prior to Dutch Bros. Like, where'd you grow up, and like, how was Dutch Bros introduced to you?
I am originally from Seattle, raised in Eugene. Kate Lonstrin is one of my absolute best friends. And she was an assistant manager at the Big Y in Eugene at the time. And every day I was going through the stand, so excited just to be there hanging out with her and Brittany and Jonah when she wasn't in the shop. And I remember Britt and Jones made a comment to me there like, you should come work at Dutch Bros. Like, why don't you work here with us? And I said, you know, I'm really, really excited to talk to people. I love people. I love interacting. But I think other than hype, I'm not sure I could work a solo shift and learn how to do math and multitask. And I remember Kate looking at me and nodding her head and being like, I think that would be really hard for you, Mo. Like, I'm not sure you could do it either. And I worked at Jimmy John's at the time, which was my first job. And I absolutely loved it. Killer first job. That's where I learned how to make a bleach sink.
Hey.
Turns out you use cold water, not hot water, to activate the bleach. Makes sense. And so I remember Kate and I were roommates. And I said to her one night, I'm like, Kate, you have that like packet of recipes. Can I see that? Can I study? And this was in 2012. And Kate was like, Mo, no, like that is for employees only. Kate is unreal. She's very by the book of like, they said when they gave me this packet that this was not for anyone else. And I'm like, okay. So I thought to myself, well, I am your roommate and I'm going to find that packet when you aren't home. So I found her packet and made flashcards and took them everywhere with me. And everyone at Jimmy John's like knew I wanted to work at Dutch Bros. So when I was on my 10-minute breaks every day, they would help me study, quiz me, like whatever it took to get me there. So finally, I'm like, I think I can do this. Like, I believe in myself. I know what a double torture is now. Like, I've got this.
Yeah.
Applied to all 7 stands in Eugene. Didn't hear anything. Checked in every week. I got an interview. My first interview was with Lance for Franklin.
The rooster.
And he didn't hire me. So I kept applying, and got a job at Coburg Road. And I will never forget when Tiff Brockway called me and I was crying, just absolutely bawling. I'm like, Tiff called me. This is the best day of my life.
Nice.
So I was the night girl at Coburg Road. I was only there for 10 months. And then 6 months in, it was the first year of the Duck Games at Autzen Stadium. The credentials then were you had to be with the company for at least a year in order to work those games. And Britt and Jonah got me in. And so I ended up actually managing one of the locations at Autzen Stadium, which was the biggest blessing ever for me. Coolest season.
Yeah.
And then in December of 2013, Kate and I took a random road trip to Granite Bay to support Brian and Maddie Place in their hiring party for their first location. And we were there for like 4 hours before we had to head back to Eugene. And we went to lunch and it was 75 degrees out. And so I'd made a comment to Brian. I was like, it is so nice out. And he jokingly was like, oh yeah, you should come work for us when we open.
Okay.
I'm in. Put me in. Yeah. And he's like, I was totally kidding, but if you want to come work with us, let's do it. So I was there a month later and had the opportunity of becoming Maddie's assistant at Granite Bay. And then 6 months in, started managing Granite Bay. And I managed over there for about 2.5 years. Transferred to Roseville when we opened our Roseville location. Was a manager there for a short few months and then stepped into a regional spot for 11 months and had an opportunity to become a lead mob last July.
Wow.
And here we are today.
And here we are.
Dang. Yeah. So you've come a long way from them not even trusting you with the recipe book to then eventually a regional manager and now lead mob. So tell us about transitioning from regional to lead mob. What was that like? Were you sought out or did you apply for it? Because now this is Lance, who you weren't good enough to hire. What a chump.
Silly boy. Yeah, I saw Lance at the leadership conference, September 2016. And he had mentioned to me like, hey, we're creating this lead mob role. And Kate is going to be the first one that we put into this position. Is that something maybe in the future you'd be interested in? And I said, I've always dreamed of doing the mob. Absolutely. I would love to. Let's just stay in contact about it. Right now, my heart is definitely in this regional spot that I had just accepted like sure. a few weeks before that time. And so moving forward to June 2017, I had seen a posting put out for the lead mob spot. So I applied for the role. And for me going into it, it was like I would feel extremely honored to step into that position. But if I didn't get it, I was in the best spot with Brian and Maddie. Yeah. So I came to Grants Pass on July 3rd last year, had an interview, and I was exactly how I am right now. Palms were sweaty. I was so nervous. It was with Ian and Lance. And then I got a call a few days later that I had gotten it. And in that moment, I was like, there's no way. Like, is this real life? How am I in this role? Then transitioning into it, it went full circle. I ended up shadowing Kate in Colorado for 5 weeks with Mason Smith, opening his Garden of the Gods location last August.
Good time. I was there.
Shane was there.
I think Shane was there, right?
Yeah. It was an unreal experience just to see how Colorado just came together at that moment.
Oh, yeah. It was wild.
So, like, you have an expectation what it's going to be like when you go out on your first trip. How was it compared to your expectations? Was it smooth? Did you learn a lot?
Yeah. So stepping into the mob, I honestly lost all my confidence as a leader.
Wow.
Actually, huge shout out to Terrell. He was awesome. All the mob was on that trip for me, but him especially, he kind of like mentored me through it. Kate left partway through for a few days. And yeah, I just felt like you're leading a group of people that you're meeting at the airport. Mm. So not knowing anyone. And then getting to know this group of people that you're going in as one unit. You're the same team, your family, you're unified from the beginning without knowing anything about each other, having any history, and stepping back and realizing that in that regional role, in those management roles, any type of role I had previously been in, barista, all of it, everything that I had learned mattered, and those things were tools and resources that I could take with me. But the respect or any of that that I had from my crew back home meant nothing to the people that I was with.
Sure.
And so re-earning that trust and regaining that respect from a new team that you're just meeting is the first and foremost thing.
Yeah.
And I did not have the confidence in myself at all.
Why do you think that was? Were there like comments being made or was there a sense of entitlement with other people?
Not at all. Okay. The mob was so supportive. The crew in Colorado was unreal. I think I just didn't have like faith and trust in myself and questioned every move that I was doing.
It was kind of like overwhelming, like you just overthought things. Or
yeah, because yeah. it was uncomfortable and it was new. Mm-hmm. And then also being thrown out of like a daily routine and not knowing how to re-grasp that and find the balance of that.
Yeah.
So I had gone from a lifestyle where every day I was cooking food at home and working out every single day to not making time for those things on the road and being in a mindset where you're like, oh, I'll still be healthy and fine, even if it's 5 weeks that I'm not choosing to exercise or do these things that I know keep me fueled.
Yeah.
So I wasn't fueling myself to continue to fuel a team that I was with.
Right.
Stepping into the mob was the biggest challenge I've ever faced, because then continuing from there, I went and did a 3 week trip, a 1 week trip, leadership, and then another 1 month trip that all just flowed together.
Yeah.
I have a type of personality that when I'm around other people and I'm constantly going, I always have energy. Mm. But I didn't confine in my team to let them know that like, oh, I am actually struggling, and lean on them and let them know like it's okay that I am human and that I have these things that I need to acknowledge and I need to pour into for myself as well. And I just kept pushing and pushing and pushing. And then when I stepped off the road in November, there was no openings for a few weeks, so all of us leads were off the road, not doing trips. And I remember going and visiting family all over the place that I have and just stepping back and evaluating and thinking, what do I need to stay fueled and how can I do that? And I almost had a point where I was like, maybe this isn't for me. If I can't figure it out and I can't adapt, then what am I doing next? What if I'm not supposed to be at Dutch Bros, even though it's what I'm most passionate about in life and I know I love what I'm doing so much?
Yeah.
It was so eye-opening for me to just stop and take a step back and face the challenge. You figure out, why am I lacking energy? Why am I stressed? Why am I not confident? And how do I adapt to it? And, you know, find community where I'm at and what do I need to do to be a stronger leader? For me, that was meeting with the mob beforehand and all of us setting goals together of what do we need personally on these trips, whether that's exercise, healthy eating, journaling, alone time. It's all doable. You just have to create
structure
for it.
It's kind of ironic that in a leadership role, you put all this pressure on yourself to know everything and have all the answers. And that's what's going to solidify me as the strong leader. But it's the moment when you're really vulnerable, showing that you need help or showing that you need some time to yourself, that you actually shine more as a leader. And that relatability and then being able to empower other people, that's when your leadership chops actually really develop.
Yeah.
And absolutely. Yet we're afraid to show any weakness to people.
Yeah, so afraid. You're like, I'm supposed to be leading this team of people. But really, when you just sit and you're vulnerable and discuss and talk about it, you realize like, no, we are one unit. We're one family. And
yeah,
I'm so much stronger with them. I think I had this like mindset of it's the mob and these people, like they're always on, they're always shining and they don't ever hit any hiccups. They can work from sunrise to sunset for 12 months a year and just being honest with your needs and where you're at and sharing your challenges with other people and how you overcome them and how you face them. Never taking the easy route of just being like, no, this isn't it. It's like, no, this is it. This is the challenge. Now, what am I going to do to make it better?
So you talked about Kate being a big person in your life and influential and just a great friend. Is there anybody else right now that you kind of draw inspiration from and you look to maybe in a mentorship way, but just also just somebody that you can exchange ideas from and get guidance from?
Yeah, absolutely. My number one role model, aside from Kate in life as friend, is Travis Harper. Yeah, he is the man I go to for anything. He's always the person that I communicate ideas with. And he's always just been that like strength of support. Mm-hmm. He's an incredible leader. And it's been so awesome to see him these last few months.
Yeah, take on the new challenge.
Vegas. Yeah.
Operator. Yeah, Vegas of all places too. Wild.
Yeah, pretty wild. But yeah, he's incredible.
Awesome.
A lot of people see you on the road. How do you set time from being like work mo to just separate time for yourself?
That alone time for me is definitely exercise.
Yeah.
So on the road, that is just making that goal like clear. We have 24 hours in a day. And for me, I need exercise over like sleep. So if it means I work out at 1 a.m., that's what I do. I'll go and get a gym membership at Planet Fitness. And off the road, I have family placed all over the map. Mm-hmm. So just making sure I make time to go out and spend time with my mom in Washington and my dad in New Mexico and my friends that are in Sacramento, making sure that I show them they're valued and they're important and they're the people that I want to make sure I'm pouring time into. I'm never in Grand's Pass because I'm constantly choosing to travel on my own time because that's what refuels me.
Yep. If you're looking to think like, oh, I'm in the stand, I'm a barista or a manager, and the mob is really interesting to me, knowing that travel is going to be a part of it and just being honest with yourself, knowing like you got to be okay with that because it sounds like you like to travel.
I love to travel very much. It's my number one passion outside of like exercises. People always ask like, how do you have so much energy? You're always going, going, going. Yeah. And I just take advantage of the times that I sit down to sleep. So if that means I'm in a car for 10 minutes, I'm going to take a 10-minute power nap. And wherever I am, if I have a few minutes to close my eyes, that's my power nap that like refuels me to continue to go throughout the day.
Nice. Well, I feel like you've kind of touched on this a little bit, but what would you say some of the biggest lessons you've learned from that first trip to now that you're applying with whatever your next trip will be as a lead mob?
Stepping back and realizing, first and foremost, every trip is going to be different. Something that I feel is so special and unique about the mob that I absolutely love is you're brand new every single trip. But along with that, you are also still a leader. And what I mean with brand new every trip is every team needs something different. Every operator has different skills, so they need assistance in different ways.
Yeah.
So you're adapting all the time to those things. You just have to use your edge and have confidence in what you're doing and realize that you have resources.
Yeah. In Shane and I's world, you know, pre-production is a big part of what we do, trying to plan ahead for any shoot or whatever. Obviously, there's going to be a lot of variables on a grand opening and things like that. You can't predict everything, but you guys try to sort of map it out and game plan it a little bit and be like, hey, this can be my role here. This can be that person's role. Do you guys do much of that?
Yes. Constant communication. Basically, like what the lead's role is, as soon as we know that we're going on a trip, first thing that we'll do is reach out to the operator or franchisee and introduce ourselves, let them know, hey, I get to be a part of your trip. A lot of times on that first call, we don't have a lot of information. It's just getting to know them, letting them know, as of right now, these are the dates that I have down. This is how many people are going to be assisting with your opening. And that is just dependent on, you know, if it's their first shop, it's a 5-week trip. Anything after that is a 1-week trip, unless it's within 6 months and they're an operator, it's a 2-week trip. So each trip looks different as far as amount of mobsters that go out, as far as the amount of time we're going to be out there. And then it's just being in touch with them of, what have you guys done so far? You know, have you started hiring yet? If so, where are you along that process? What is it going to look like when we get out there? What are you going to need from us? Here's what we can provide. Just letting them know from the start, you have our support. And then on ground, just assisting them in hiring, training, grand opening day, schedules if they need it, stock order, whatever they need, we're there to make sure everything goes smoothly and they have full support in every aspect.
What's like the craziest request that's ever been made of you on one of these trips where you're like, whoa, we got to do this? I didn't see this coming.
Craziest request. Honestly, so far, I haven't really had any out of whack requests.
Yeah. You didn't have to like dress up in like a big cow mascot costume.
I wish I did. That would be the dream.
Movies. I actually did it once. Hey. The Boatnik Parade. Dana Spag was Princess Penny. I was the mad cow. There's a giant mad cow costume.
That was epic.
Didn't Kenya dress up?
I think he did as well. And we were downtown Grants Pass in the parade. Dana and I were pretend fighting, but there was a moment where she crouched down to fake punch me, and she got me right in the junk.
In front of thousands.
In front of thousands of screaming Boatnik attendees.
Did you just fall dead to the ground
and she,
or what?
I played it off as best I could.
Just vomiting. And
Dana was like, I am so sorry. Like, she knew what she did. You knew what you did, Dana. And you did it on purpose. I'll never forgive you.
People don't forget.
We need you to hit the road. We'll take you on the road with us and bring that cow costume back out.
Just make sure it's not hot. I could barely breathe in there. All it was nuts. But I did it for the team.
Did it for the people. Yeah. Give the people what they want.
How do you get ready for grand openings? Is it just like how you did with your dub shots? Do you just go in there with like that energy or just like...
Oh, yeah.
Anyone who works a grand opening is...
jacked.
Just stoked to be there. Like, they're so excited to be a part of that all-star squad. So I feel like everyone already comes in with the most energy, no matter what time it is that they come in. But we like to have dubs ready for them, or Shotgun Rebels, of course, if it's like the afternoon or the night shift and we're not able to pull dubs. And we have them come in 30 minutes ahead of time. And I saw this at a grand opening a few months ago, and so started taking it with me on the road as well. I'm not sure where it originated from, but we get everyone huddled together and we rock left, right, and get the momentum going. And then it's a repeat after me chant. So someone will start it and it's like, and then everyone repeats I believe that we will slay.
Oh, that's catchy. So that's everyone, good.
Wow, yeah, let's go.
We're putting Shane in. He's working the next grand opening, everybody.
I would love to. He was like the Will Ferrell Spartan cheerleader right there.
Yeah, so that gets everyone so stoked. And
I got fired up.
Yeah.
Not going to lie.
Used to do that in high school.
Yeah, so, and everyone's just ready to rip. They run in and they're stoked, and just making sure to always communicate with them a clear game plan beforehand. And we started doing all-star nights the night before grand opening day, just get everyone together, share all the information with them about what position they're going to be, what the expectation is, and what it means to be in this new community and how we get to represent that first
experience. That first for a experience, lot of people. Yeah. So sacred.
Yeah.
The mall is, I guess you can consider, one of the most like sought after jobs. What do you, as a lead mob, look for somebody who wants to be just a mobster?
First and foremost, contagious personalities. And a lot of people, you know, have a mentality and vision of, oh, I really want to be on the mob, but I can't get there because I'm not super crazy, outgoing, energetic. And no, that's not it. They're silent slayers. They're the people that are the first ones in and last ones out. And they'll do whatever it takes to make sure like the culture is carried on through this community of Dutch Bros, but it's just like hiring for a stand. You want all types of different personalities, and sure. It just comes down to the humble servant leaders that are there for the greater good of the company. A lot of times people will ask, like, how do I get in? I've been here 6 months and I really don't know why I'm not assistant manager yet, or I'm not a manager yet. Like, how do I get to these higher positions? And I always just remind them, like, embrace where you are right now. As a barista, you have the most important position in this company as a barista.
Yeah.
And set those goals, communicate them with your leadership team, and act as if you are already a manager. If you want to be a mobster, we love to see the people that have been put into leadership roles beforehand.
You get too focused on the future and then you forget about the present. You know, your mind switches into, I am already a mobster, but you're slacking on what you're doing currently.
Serve your team that you're with now and always be that person that is going the extra mile for everything, even if it's not asked of you.
I like what you said, you know, as far as mob having different personality types, and it doesn't have to be the over gregarious, super outgoing, full ball of energy. One of my favorite mobsters ever was B-Rad Powers. I loved that cat, and he was part of this group of just huge personalities, but like, he had so much edge during Cocha when we had like Dylan Francis on the golf course and serving any way he could. Dude. And he had really good ideas as far as like solutions to some problems that arose. And he just went for it, man. He just took charge and he just did it. He's just a unique individual, not as like overly outgoing. So if you're putting that limited belief in your mind right now, ladies and gentlemen, that you have to be the standout huge personality to get ahead, that is not the case.
No.
Just kill it in the space you're at and embrace the strengths you do have.
Bingo.
Absolutely. Nailed it.
Well, my goodness, Mo, this has been awesome. We could have you on here all day, but we should probably wrap it up. So Shane, why don't you do our sign off?
So, you know, we always like to end this thing with, if you could give any advice or guidance to our young barista audience who wants to be a part of the mob or wants to operate one day, what advice could you give to somebody right now?
Stay humble, stay hungry, and meet yourself with where you're at right now. We're always still learning. You're never done in a role that you're in. Work hard, have patience, embrace being a barista, embrace being a shift lead, an assistant manager, carry that role with weight, and don't be so eager and so rushed to get to the next spot. Just take in and learn everything that you can from the leaders that you're surrounded by.
And those are pretty small, tangible things, but it's the small things over time that really compound to those gains. It's only a matter of time before people take notice, and they do notice. If you're putting in the work consistently with great attitude and great effort, you'll get recognized.
A quote I always say is, every day is better than yesterday, but not as good as tomorrow. So just remember to leave a little sparkle wherever you go.
Wow, Confucius sitting on the couch there. Very wise.
Thank you guys so much for having me.
Absolutely, Mo. Thank you. It was an honor to be here. We appreciate your time because we know that you're a busy gal.
Okay, Kate.
Kate, you're
now we've gotten Mo.
We're calling you Kate.
Kate, you're sick and tired of this, Kate.
This is a Granite Bay toast to Kate Launstrom right now with the dub shot. We need you on the couch. We need your wisdom. Don't hurt my feelings anymore. All right, Dutch Nation, we love you. Stay hungry. Bye, stay guys. Humble. We'll catch you next time.
Peace.
Peace. Ooh.